You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
We're so
That's
so screwed up right now. He says, what time? 2 minutes. Now, on Tuesday, we went to great lengths to set up the Skype connection and make sure everything was right, right? So, he doesn't answer my text telling him that, you know, that's what we're doing. So I call him, and I said, hey, you on Skype? He's like, oh, I can do that. So we wait. The gunner. Like herding cats today. Okay, so we'll try Skype again.
Keep moving. Though they're disapproving, keep them doggies moving.
What? Yes, I can hear you. This is the gunner's real voice. Say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
This is the difference between
cell phone.
Yeah, cell phone and like normal human existence. So, again, we set this up, you know, a whole bunch a couple days ago, and then he calls me on his. Then I have to call him on my phone. To boot him in the head to say get on Skype, you dope.
I've been trained. I mean, it was like I've always been on the phone, so I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. We got this set up.
Unbelievable.
This is actually more comfortable.
Why? Explain why more comfortable? Because you're not having to hold it to your head and all the rest of that stuff, huh? Oh, you don't hold it to your head. You put your headset on.
Yeah, I put my earbuds in.
So why is it more comfortable?
Well, because I'm in the chair. Well, you know, you've been in my house, so you know the like the kitchen is all the way on the left hand side with the printer and the computer and the
desk.
That's where I'm sitting in that chair, just relaxing, surfing the internet. Yeah.
So now I can't do any quizzes with you anymore.
Yeah, I won't look at them. I never did.
You're such a liar.
What is why? Why? Okay, just because someone is smart.
Stop.
This is the problem that
Stop.
I've lived with my whole life.
Stop.
The persecution
please.
Of being intelligent.
Please, please, please don't do this. Don't do this.
Time. And Matt, you don't understand how difficult it is
the burden you carry.
In a world where you're persecuted because you know it's too much. And I try and, now I act dumb. People are like, hey, you know, and I'm like, no, please tell me. Just so I'm accepted.
So you act stupid just to fit in?
I act stupid so I can fit in with everybody. I don't want people to, yeah, it's true. It's a horrible, horrible thing.
You know, I've said for a lot of years, you'll go a lot farther acting stupid than you will, you know, acting smart and unscrewing everybody.
Yes. Yeah. Because you know why? Because in today's day and age, the world stops to help stupid people. We enact laws, and we put signs up, and we do things that we wouldn't normally do for stupid people. You know, we spend extra money to put warning labels. Do not put this in your mouth. Do not eat this. You know? And people are like, well, why not? Well, because it's glass. You're not supposed to eat glass. But it looks so pretty. I want to put it in my mouth and I want to chew on it. They're like, huh. Right? But so what we're doing is, like I said, I've said this before, we're going against like the whole evolution of how things evolve. You know, the strong survive. No. We're allowing stupid people, we're giving them superpowers to catch up. We should just let them fall to the wayside. Move on. Acceptable loss. I know it's horrible, but you know what? It's what we have to do for mankind.
Well, you know, I was just talking to Chris Woodbridge, and I was telling him, listen to this.
That meteor theory? Or no?
No. I was talking to Woodbridge about, well, I've been bitching about the fact that the Marine Corps has not digitized its archives, and they have these, supposedly have these absolutely incredible, you know, things in there, but nobody can listen to them. I'm like, what's going on? So Woody comes on the first time in a long time, which is my mistake, but he comes on today, and we're talking, and he says, oh, yeah, Mac, we have this other initiative. He said, I'm sure you'll be interested, but we're going to start putting digital, our digital stuff on. We got to digitize it first, which is not an easy thing to do. But we have recordings of Chesty Puller talking about counterinsurgency. We have.
Oh, yeah, they got everything, dude.
Right. General Vandegrift bitching about the Navy on Guadalcanal. He said it's.
Yeah.
And so he said, but, you know, we're going to put these things up, and there's other content that we're going to put up, but we're not going to have comment section. You know, if you want to write it, something, we're okay with that. I said, oh, my God. You know, I said, Mike has this theory, and I agree with it now, that all the validation that you need to and the case that you need to make for endorsing mass extinction is contained in the comment section of any website or on any article. It's all the validation. He started laughing. He said, what? For the extinction of the human race? I said, yes, that's the theory.
And what do you say? So, when you first hear it, you're like, that's crazy. But then when you start to go out and you start to, you're like, holy shit, Gunner's right.
Once again,
I can see this now.
He's a higher life form.
Yeah. I've taken the blue pill. I notice that other humans around me, this is not the way we need to go. And, the best thing to hope for. But the problem is, Mac, stupid people were going to live through the mass extinction.
What?
That's why it's going to be complete.
Well, if it's an instinct, are we talking about a partial?
No, like people will hide. They'll go underground. They're going to hide in caves.
So you have to show up for the extinction? Like we have to like sell them on, you got to show up? That's not going to work.
If you like have like a, I don't know, maybe like an Ariana concert. Promote it. Free Ariana concert for all, because you know a lot of the stupid people are going to go listen to Ariana. Right? Am I wrong?
Yeah, I don't think that that's the way it should be though.
What do you mean?
I don't think it should be that way. I think that it should be some, not a concert, but it should be some natural event. Like
that you gotta sucker them in.
It's like we figured out how to convert oxygen into CO2. And when we do that, everybody goes.
Oh, Mac.
Yes.
What did you just say?
You heard me. We're gonna figure out a way to convert oxygen into CO2, and then we're gonna suck all the oxygen out of the atmosphere, and everything dies.
Okay.
Nobody escapes.
But the problem is, remember we're talking about stupid people. Stupid people don't know what CO2 is.
Well, that's okay.
They probably know what oxygen is, but. You know, they would say, oh, you know what? I had some oxygen in this drink from this vending machine I got in Venice. Yeah, same thing, man.
And you would say, yeah, that's awesome. Keep drinking it. You'll be okay.
Yeah. All right? Keep drinking your oxygen. Because they sell that shit in California.
They sell it everywhere.
They sell bottles. Remember that? They sell, like, this new healthcare fad, you know, like, here, buy a bottle of oxygen and sit at home and, breathe in it.
Go to the oxygen bar.
Yeah. And then go, you know what? Then do me a favor. As soon as you hang out in the oxygen bar and you do a couple oxygen shooters and slammers and Alabama slammers, go outside and spark up a cigarette real quick. Please. 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 But see, this is where stupid people come in, because stupid people will go there because it's cool,
right.
It's fad,
right.
It's a thing to do,
right.
And then that person will go out and literally, it'll smoke a cigarette and then burn, and then be like, What just happened? I don't understand what just happened. I lit a match and I blew up.
Didn't you see the sign? Didn't you see the warning? Didn't you read what you signed when you came in that said don't smoke? You're
highly flammable. You know what flammable means? No.
No.
Go ahead, tell me.
No. What is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
It means
you're that guy.
Cigarettes more.
Oh, you're that guy. You're like using big words on me. Like, how am I supposed to know what? How am I supposed to know what flammable
means? Words.
Yeah.
Flammable,
yeah. Oh yeah, Mr. College, Mr. Big Shot College vocabulary, flammable. Yeah, I'm stupid.
Yeah, that's how they act, man. Right? That's how they act. I had to deal with these guys in the Marine Corps.
What?
Gunner, you don't know what you're talking about. I could shoot mortars over live troops. In training? Yeah, go ahead. Try that out. And then they get ready to attempt it, and then you introduce, what are they doing? Oh, that captain is shooting mortars over live troops. You're going to let him? I couldn't tell him that. I tried to tell him. He said he knows better than me. Then we go down there, and he gets fired.
Which is infinitely, and then all you got to do is like, hey, Captain, come here. Let me introduce you to Duffy White, who had 81-millimeter mortars dropped on his mortar section. And let me tell you about gun target lines and shit like that. Okay, come here. Well, no, we don't have to. No. You're going to get your snot rubbed into it, jackass. Right? Because this is not a theoretical event. These things don't theoretically explode. They really explode.
You know what they didn't like? One time, I had some Marines. And we were in a range at Camp Pendleton. I think one of the 400s, you know, the one our 400s, like 407, the ones up off Roldar Road. And so I was sitting there, and the guy was pissing me off, and I finally tried to get my point across. I said, hey, come here, guys. Come here. And there was like three or four Marines of his. And so I said, hey, what's your first name? And he's like, sir? I said, what's your first name? Jeff. You. Warren. You. Todd. Okay. Jeff, Warren, and Todd. Where are you from? And they're like, I'm from Lansing, Michigan. You know, Austin, Texas. Okay. And I look at the captain and go, you know, these people are fucking human. They're not training aides. They have a life. Right. They have people that care for them.
Right.
They're not here to be your training aide. And you get this, like, and then the Lance Corporals are trying to get away. Like, boy, it's getting late. I must go eat something. But, you know, it takes that kind of shot in the face to get your point across sometimes. Like, what do you think you're doing?
No, that's my problem. Here's the answer. Gunner, all I'm trying to do is do realistic training.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? That's what you get. And then if you care to sit down and work with them, you can say, okay, well, look, why don't we sit and look at this thing? What can we do that runs the dismounted guys tangential to the gun target line so we can come close to it, but we're not going to put anybody's life at risk in case we have a short round.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, so let's do. So what I'm inviting you to do is let's do smart guy shit, not stupid guy shit, okay?
Right.
Yesterday
when we were talking about leadership and, you know, kind of that stuff.
We weren't talking about leadership yesterday. We were talking about it on Tuesday.
Same day. Everything's yesterday.
Same difference.
Everything's yesterday.
Same difference.
Christ's sakes. Yeah, same difference. Tuesday was yesterday. Yesterday is yesterday.
I hate that term, same difference. What does that mean? No, it's not the same difference. But people say that shit, same difference. No, it's not.
Yeah, same difference.
And if it was the same difference, wouldn't they be the same thing?
No, same difference.
All right, keep going.
Okay. So I used to have this, and I still do. It's in the other room. But I have this quote from James Warner Bella.
Who?
And it used to hang in my office.
James Warner who?
Bella.
Who's that?
He's a poet, I guess. I don't know. He's dead. He's not German. But this used to hang in my office in a really nice frame. I had it framed. I had it on parchment paper. I did it really well because I wanted to make it special. And then I used to give this to friends of mine. Not as like, you screwed up. And because one guy took it like, oh, what are you trying to say? What I'm trying to say is, you're one of these guys. You're a good dude. And you do this. And so that. Don't look at it the other way as I'm trying to point out character flaws, because I'm not. You're a good dude. You're doing the right thing. So I'm going to read it to you. Because it's had, this is what I was trying to remember yesterday. It says, a dead soldier who has given his life because of the failure of his leader is a dreadful sight before God. Like all dead soldiers, he was tired before he died, undoubtedly dirty and possibly frightened to his soul. And there he is on top of all that, never to see his homeland. Don't be the leader who failed to instruct him properly, who failed to lead him well. Burn the midnight oil that you may not, in later years, look at your hands and find his blood still red upon them. James Warner Bella. And someone gave this to me when I was a young Marine, like Corporal Sergeant. And I used to keep it in my notebook, like written in my notebook. And every time I had a new notebook, I'd write it down again.
How do you spell his last name?
B-L-L-A-H.
B-L-L-A-H.
James Warner Bella. I think he's a poet.
He's an American Western author from the 1930s to the 1950s. His pulp fiction writings on cavalry and Indians were published in paperbacks or serialized in the Saturday Evening Post. Bella was the author of 19 novels, including The Valiant Virginian and Blood River. There you have it.
And he died in 1976.
Listen to this.
Born in 1999.
In World War I, Bella enlisted in the Canadian Army and served as a pilot in the 117th Squadron of Great Britain's Royal Flying Corps. These experiences formed the basis of his 1928 novel, The Gods of Yesterday. During World War II, Bella served in the United States Army, starting as a lieutenant in the 16th Infantry, was detailed to the General Staff Corps before Pearl Harbor, and was later assigned to Headquarters Battalion, 1st Infantry Division, later with the 80th Infantry Division. Later he served on the staff of Admiral Lord Lewis Mountbatten, Southeast Asia. He was attached to General Wingate's Chindits in combat in Burma, and to General Stilwell, and to Colonel Cochran's 1st Air Commando Group. He left the service at the rank of, you're such a dope. Why didn't you look his ass up, man? This guy's a...
Don't tell me, because you know what? You never heard of him either, so don't start going off on me, dude.
I know, but you did. You didn't even, like, get off your dead ass.
No, I just found his poem, and it was like, wow, I didn't fucking, I didn't look him up. I was thinking maybe he was just a poet. I didn't know he's a warrior.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, now I'm like, I'm actually on Amazon right now, looking to buy his books.
Yeah, because that's pretty profound stuff. And let me tell you, the worst part is what that saying alludes to. Nobody can ever lift that burden, that guilt from you. Nobody can ever lift it from you. You live with that forever. And you live with it by the virtue of your own negligence or your own laziness or fill in that blank. You did not do your job, and somebody else paid with their life. And that is the heaviest burden that anyone can suffer. Because people live with, I had to make decisions. We went down this alley instead of that street. We got into a fight. He lost a leg. He's dead, right? But it was just the daily decisions that I had to make as a squad leader, right? And I'd do the same thing again based on what I knew, but I have to live with that. I didn't do anything wrong. That's rough. That's what workmen, I mean, Mike and I talked about this. In a firefight, when you kill 24 dudes, they wouldn't fight you if they didn't have overwhelming, you know, numerical superiority, because they don't roll like that. So if they're going to ball up on you and try to kill you, and he kills 24, in my opinion, they probably had 100 dudes there. And Jeremiah struggled with, I mean, with the fact that he had three of his Marines get killed. And he did everything that he was supposed to do and more. All you got to do is read his Navy Cross citation. That's rough. That's living with that is hard. Can you imagine if you didn't do your job, if you didn't do your homework, and your guys get killed, and you know in your heart of hearts that it's your fault? It's rough shit, man.
Well, to think that it could have been different, that's not the way you want to think, because it wouldn't have been. You know, if Jeremiah wouldn't have been there, they could have lost more. But you can't go back and look at that. And you got to look at, you know, because of what he did and the leadership that he did instill, more people got out than they should have.
But it took him a long time, and he would argue with you about that, because that's not the way he felt in his heart. He felt that he made mistakes, things he should have done, things he second guessed.
I'm not going to argue with him. I'm going to order him to think that way. That's how I rank him.
Exactly.
And if you're listening again, Jeremiah, because he's laughing, you know, hey, same thing, man.
But it's rough. It's rough.
Yeah.
And
it is.
Yeah, it's a rough job. But that's a great. That is a great quote.
I just ordered. I'm gonna order. Well, I want to buy this signed original corrected manuscript for $1,500. But I don't think Tina would.
She's not home.
I just tell her it's an investment.
Yes, it's an investment. This will probably triple in value in the next 6 months.
Yeah. So. Gods of yesterday, that looks pretty good.
Yeah, because that quote can only be written by somebody who's lived it.
Dude, I mean, yeah, now I feel like, wow, I missed out on all this guy for 20 years.
Go ahead, say thank you, Mac.
Well, I was going to until you said, you dope. What are you thinking, you big dope?
Yeah, well, who is this guy? Yeah. I don't know. It's a quote somebody gave me. Did you look at
mine? Yeah. And like whatever, and then we look it up together.
Hey,
I'm like, life's holy crap! Okay, man,
it's tough.
You don't have to sit there and, hey, come here. What? Oh, you're gonna rub my face on that?
Yes.
No, I'm gonna stay over here.
Yes.
I'm fine.
Yes. No, you have.
No, come here.
You have. You know. You first of all, you deserve it.
I learn that way.
Second,
I am actually the opposite of that.
It doesn't matter. You have to go through it, and you know it. Of all people, you know it.
I don't have to go through shit.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
No.
You got to live by the same rules you play by, and that means when your snout should be rubbed in it, it's going to get rubbed in it.
No,
the Marine Corps.
They don't live. No.
Okay. The number one.
I make the rules that I live in, and everybody else does.
There you go. Can you see the problem that we got going on here?
Man, all his books are old, and they're freaking expensive. Okay, there is.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, no. Target Zero.
He's your guy, though.
$450 hardcover.
Ooh.
Action filled story of the glory of the fighting. What is that? G1? No, the GI. Okay. Like, the G1. The fighting G1. What? They're crack. Smoking crack. You know, G1 is our admin section. They don't fight.
Holy shit. You know, this is awesome because you can't make it up.
No. The fighting G1. I'm like, what? The fighting G1? The G1 used to fight in World War II? Holy crap.
Who knew that?
Yeah.
The Marine Corps is on the verge of buying high-speed comm headsets.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
For the force.
Wow.
Now, I go back and I talk to Mike and I said, what's the number one requirement?
This is 2 years ago, at least.
Years ago. Number one requirement in terms of equipment. And go ahead and tell everybody what you said.
I said, calm. And Mac went, what? I didn't expect that from you, Gunner. I said, you must communicate effectively to shoot effectively. It all comes down to calm.
Okay, so explain to me, are there mic adjustments? It's like, so is there an ambient mic so I can still hear once I put these things over my ears so I can hear what's around me?
Oh, yeah. I don't know which one they're going with, if they're going with MSA. But if you look at your protection. They're going. I don't know if they're going to get the one that's incorporated in the helmet.
All right, let me read you. And now Marines may be getting their hands on new headsets currently donned by the Raider community. The Marine Corps is looking at a range of headsets to help improve hearing protection and battlefield situational awareness, according to a request for information published by MAR Force Systems Command in early September. The Marine Corps is planning to purchase between 7,000 and 65,000 of the headsets over the next few years. Blah, 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 blah. Marine Raiders have been sporting Pelt Corps headsets for several years now.
Oh, so they're doing the Pelt Corps. So that's the one that goes, that's attached to the rail of a helmet. There's all sorts you could, there's all sorts of ones you can do.
Attached to the rail of a helmet. The helmet yeah. I'm looking at, it's like the shell, but where that flared part that would go over your ears is gone, and the audio headset pieces are inserted in there, and then the rest of the helmet looks kind of sort of the same.
Yeah. So here, if you look, that's $680. Okay.
Is that a good good price or bad price?
That's cheap. I might get that instead of the book. No.
Rolling around Granberry. You could be Skyping with me. Have it hooked into your phone.
Well, right here. Look. Bam. So look on my screen. I just shared it with you. See that helmet on the left-hand side? Pretty high speed, huh?
Yeah, we're in a new world,
baby.
We're in a new world.
See the helmet, though? That's the MARSOC helmet.
Ooh.
So.
That's cool.
It's nice. It's really nice.
Okay, so explain to me.
Yeah,
so I'm going to be on a frequency.
It's got a CDI factor of at least 11.
What's a CDI factor?
Chicks dig it.
And that's the headline was Tactical.
No, it's called CDI. Whenever you buy something, it's got to have a CDI factor. And CDI stands for Chicks Dig It. So like a Maserati or a Ferrari, I mean any kind of Italian supercar, CDI factor 20. So 20 is the limit. We're not doing 10.
How about joining the Marine Corps?
Oh, like a 14.
Yeah.
But see, here's the difference, Mac. Becoming an infantryman, 17. Becoming a fighter pilot, 9.
Yep.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Becoming a loggy, even our buddy Joe, that's 11 or 12. Fighter pilot, 9. Why so low? Because, and here's why. Because everybody knows they have these insecurities. That's why they go chases. So we to keep it real, we got to give them a lower number.
Yeah, they do. They like themselves too much. They just don't roll around and do their thing. It's like everybody's got to know.
Chicks dig Marines in dress blues.
Yeah, for instance, let me tell you. After we came home from Afghanistan, we had an award ceremony at the birthday ball. Two Marines received awards up in a suite. Blah, 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 blah. And I think General Neller was a guest of honor, and he awarded the medals. Mm-hmm. They were both aviators. They're like, okay,
would they get the air medal?
So why the grand display? Yeah.
Would they get the air medal?
I don't remember.
I rate the air medal, but it was...
No, you don't.
Rudy and Metro that undermined me to keep me from getting it.
You and the chaplain.
They
lumped you in the chaplain. You were not going to receive the air medal.
It was a gang. We're not going to let this ground guy get one of our sacred coveted air medals.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, so we all went, and like everybody else received an award. You got it at formation on the grinder, right? at Horno. And I mean, and that's how you do it, right? Not the aviators. We're going to do this on the night of the ball. Dig me.
What?
Okay. All right. If that's what we're doing. And then people are saying, like, well, what are we going to? Oh, yeah, the aviators are going to get their reward, so get up there. What? What's
going
on?
Yeah, go get your attention.
Yeah,
you
here
little...
we go. We're going to talk about how great they are. We're going to talk about how great they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the so aviators awesome. Are the only guys I know, after you get an award, they want to do a speech. I want to thank everybody for allowing me the opportunity to get this. I'm like, dude, you don't get speeches after you get a medal. Get off.
Yeah. Here's the speech that gets given. Left face.
Yeah, left face. Forward march. Or it's post. That's your speech. Post.
They're different.
Post, bitch.
The, alright, here, so describe, so there's, oh, here's the email. Hey, Matt, could you ask Gunnar to describe the radio that attaches to this? Is it just a short range?
Whatever you want, an M-biter.
So it has, the radio is not resident in the helmet, it's got to be attached to the helmet?
What do you mean? No, it's in a pouch. You just plug it in.
So it's in a pouch that's sitting on your plate carrier, and you plug it in. And it's got the range of 100 meters or something like that.
The radio?
Yeah. How far is the radio broadcast?
It's an M-biter.
What's that mean?
The AMPRC 148 M-biter, M-B-T-I-R. How do I know that? I don't know what it means. It's an M-biter. But an M-biter is a multi-wave, you know, type of radio.
Okay. So I have this little unit. It certainly, because of its power source, can't broadcast very far. Does it tap into the squad or platoon radio?
Multi-band intra team radio.
Okay.
There we go.
All right.
An M-biter.
All right. Matt, could you have the gunner explain also the different adjustments on this? I looked at a picture. It's pretty cool. I think it would be really cool during a fight where you could hear the directions of your team leader and squad leader coming into your headset. Targets could be identified. Pretty cool. I also recall you guys talking about this a while ago, combining this with suppressors, and you can see the lethality of a squad go up because of your ability to identify targets, engage them, and communicate. Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
I don't want to be a dick here in this conversation, but there's no support is lethality when it comes to that kind of stuff. You're not any more lethal. So
what are you then?
You're more capable. If you can expand your capabilities, I guess you could say as a second or third order effect, you are more lethal. But lethality is the problem that we chase, the word, the definition of this is more lethal than that. No, it's not. You know, it's like the experiment or the thing that I used to do. I'd hold a surefire pen in one hand and hold a gun in the other and say, which one is more lethal? And everybody look at me like gun, gunner, okay. If I shoot you in the foot and I take this pen and I shove it into your left eye up to your brain, your corner report's going to be what? Yeah, thank you. So they're not any more lethal. It's how we use them. So not anything's lethal. Cars are lethal. Hell, this block of wood next to me can be lethal. But it's how we use it. It's how we implement it. So that's why we can't always chase the word lethal when it comes to this. It's more capable, right? So you have a more capable set. Capabilities provide you mobility, and it's a tree, you know. So survivability, and that's why I said not lethality. It used to be lethality. Used to be in that tree,
right.
But it doesn't give you any more lethality. You know, you can have a bunch of morons with the best kit. They can't go shoot anybody. They're not lethal.
So lethality, there's a training component in
lethality is a separate component. Yeah, it's not to be incorporated in survivability, mobility, you know, right. those sort of capabilities. Lethality is not a capability. You can't. You just.
So what is so as you would define it? What is lethality?
Lethality is a training thing. I mean, you become more lethal the better, because you've got to know how. It's like the application. How do you use artillery? You know, in conjunction with air and direct fire, provides you lethality. Artillery on its own can and cannot be lethal.
Right.
Right?
I'm with you.
Machine guns can and cannot be lethal on their own. They can and they cannot. But it's the use. It's the art. And that's why I say... Lethality is an art.
Whoa. You know what? And, you know, it irritates me. You know, again, under the broad heading of the sun shines on a dog's ass every once in a while. When he's right, it irritates me. Because the art form, like you have all these systems.
Yeah.
The art form is the ability to synthesize this stuff and conduct it in a dynamic environment. And
right, into a lethal package. And that's what
not
being a battalion commander comes into. You're not your battalion is not lethal. You're not even playing in a lethality ball game. Yes, you got some maneuverability, and yes, you got some survivability, right? And it's a scale. It's not a, you can't fill, they're not silos. You just can't fill them up. They're scales. So the more you put in one, the less you can put in the other.
They're musical instruments in an orchestra. And you can see.
Yeah,
right,
actually.
Right,
brass and wood.
Right, and you can see where it would, where it goes wrong. The conductor's jacked up, right? And you have these components.
And you can have the best musicians in the world
in the right place at the right time, doing the wrong thing because the conductor's got his head up his ass. The art form.
So lethality to me, when we use the word lethality. It's an art form. You attain lethality at the end. You become
lethal.
You become more, you know, as through the training, you use survivability and you use mobility and you use all of the capabilities to become lethal.
But becoming lethal goes through the art, and so you can see where you can have those capabilities and not be lethal.
Right. So I don't like to say the word, no one's lethal in that aspect. You can become, it's an art form. You have to attain that. So in the military, I just hated that word being thrown around. Wow. You know, my squad is so lethal. What? How do you figure that? You know, I got a text message today. Hey, what's the maximum effective range of the M16? I said, hey, I don't want to text. Call me on this one. And they sent me back like the face with the eyes bugged out like, oh, shit.
Here we go.
Because the maximum effective range of an M16 A1 or A2 varies. People are like, well, what do you mean? For some people, it's 10 feet. For others, it's 100 yards. Some, 700 yards. The maximum effective range is not, if you shoot a gun in the sky and the bullet goes, that's not the maximum effective range because we're using the word effective. There's no effectiveness of that bullet. It's just flying through the air. You didn't do anything to make that bullet effective. So you can't say it's that's maximum effective range. Maximum effective range is when you effectively use that bullet to do what you wanted to do.
All they wanted to hear was 500 meters or 600 meters. That's
no,
all they wanted,
it's
right?
Different.
That's all they wanted, though. That's all they were looking for was a
I
data
can't
point.
Give that to you.
I know.
It's not that easy.
And this is what they got.
Yeah.
This is what
they got.
Did.
The 1 hour speech.
Dude, they shouldn't. Wait, you know what they did? They learned. I'm never going to ask him again. Okay,
no,
I've got.
No, no.
I've got
they,
a couple.
I've got
a couple emails. I got
so
a couple.
Intelligent.
How do you live on this planet with the rest of us? It must be such a burden. Here's an email entitled Family. Good morning, Mac. The discussion you and Gunner had on Tuesday regarding family dynamics was raw and real. It fit right into my life, how I was raised, and it was somewhat dysfunctional. But I went on to have a great life. However, I'm not too close with most of my siblings, like some would believe, but a great exchange between you two, very authentic. In addition, I like when you ask, where were you raised? Be well. Well, just a comment on where were you raised. The fact that the Gunner doesn't like it means that I will ask that more frequently, if that's possible. So,
and maybe the Gunner's just making you play into his hand.
I know. It's a stupid game that he played, that we play.
We play like, back and forth.
I don't like, know. I don't know where this
is. In the prior patch.
I don't know where this is going, but okay, I'll play along with it. Here's another one. Oh my God, your talk with the Gunner today was the most powerful ever. This is as great as the one with your sister and Jay Workman. Jesus. And for both of you horses' asses, the Marine Corps became your parents. Like so many others I've met at Walter Reed. Does the Marine Corps know that? I said, no, they don't know that. If they knew it, they tried to claim us as dependents on their income taxes. And he said, you guys should build a $100 million church and become preachers. And he says, the more I listen to you and the Gunner from yesterday, the more impressed I am. And I responded, if I had known that you'd be so impressed with my fucked up life, I'd have shared it with I would have shared that shit with you a long time ago. if I got one of those, I got like seven or eight of those. Those are two of them. About what we started talking about family, and I won't say we clicked off safe, but we probably shared things that neither one of us had shared on the radio before. I started getting texts from friends of ours. Mike, did he just say he was adopted? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Why is that?
It's only news because people have known you for a long time, and nobody knew that. So it's not like nobody gives
it. No one knows me. you know me.
That's what somebody said.
No one knows me, Mac. I don't know myself. I discover new things every day.
He's a Russian spy. He's Yuri. I was like,
I'm Yuri Gogochevich.
Oh, my God. No, I got a series.
Actually,
I got a
series. I'm the pathfinder for the Mediator. I was sent here to find a place for the Impact.
For the Impact? Oh, I thought you were going to say for the people from planet Krypton. We're looking for a new planet. We're considering Earth, but after seeing the comment section in the New York Times, I think we're crossing it off the list as of this morning. There was one other thing I was supposed to ask you. But I can't recall it. You said we were talking. You said that you knew Colonel Ripley.
Yeah. Well, I didn't. Not like we're buddies. I met him.
Okay. All right. Do you ever Ripley story? Let me just tell you when. Here's the other thing. I have on the program. Yesterday, a retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel by the name of Ed Navgoski.
Yeah, I know Ed. I know Ed.
His dad was in the was
the
one
gunner.
Of the, yeah, he's one of the first gunners, and they lived.
Does he know me? You said he.
Yeah, he said he knew you.
He's a great dude, man.
Do you know his dad? I mean,
yeah.
I was there when the first gunner class came through the basic school and went to IOC. They were some fairly salty dudes.
Oh, dude, I wouldn't want to have been in that group. Yeah. Could you imagine being a lieutenant or a captain dealing with those guys?
Yeah, trying to teach those guys.
Those guys were Vietnams, Silver Star guys, you know, holy crap. You know, sergeant majors, master gunner sergeants.
They were
already just jaded as hell, man. They were done, you know. What's this bullshit? And then they all were like on first names with Al. and they had his phone numbers and everything, and they knew, like, hey, Al, what the hell did you get me into? And that was Al Gray, the comment on Marine Corps. Hey, Pete, shut up and do it. Screw you, Al. You told me that this was not going to be. I got to listen to this stupid captain on land now. Dude, that would have been crazy.
It was. Well, but you know what? Certainly the gunner program was unique. And you know, but it honestly, it challenged everybody to say, okay, what are we doing with these guys? Are we wasting their time? And the courses all got modified. I know IOC did. It was like in the first few weeks, they were, instead of them going through, there was a weapons package devised for them to go do things that they recommended that we do. So, I mean, it was good. It made the whole thing better and paved the way for a pretty good program that's in place now. But they were salty as shit, man. They'd stand up. You'd be like, oh, my God. Guys, like, terrified to go teach these guys. Yeah. Have your fucking have your ass wired together, boys, because you're gonna get it.
And Nagloski, you know, that guy's been in shape his whole life. He's still in shape. Guy's wiry, he runs forever. I mean, so here's Nagloski showing up as a war, and they didn't skip warrant officer like we did. They went from sergeant major to warrant officer one. I mean, oh my God, and that makes you more mad. Like, what the hell? And then, you know, they're walking by, and then all of a sudden you get this second lieutenant Butterbar, you know, just still in school, and they're like, excuse me, word officer, you didn't salute. You say one more word, lieutenant, I'm going to put your head through that goddamn tree. You know, and they're like, wow. You know, oh, wow, this is not what they told me at OCS. Oh, Christ. So they walk away confused. And then so then they're even more mad. They're walking around with cigarettes and cups of coffee in their uniform.
Right.
You know, could you imagine TBS like I said, hey, we got rules here. No coffee, no cigarettes while we're walking.
Yeah, and if you're drinking coffee between classes and you're outside, you got to have your cover on, right? And they're standing outside smoking with the cigarette attached to their.
Because you know, then what happens is then they get on the phone and they're calling the commandant. Hey, Al. You told me we didn't have to play this monkey shit with these guys. And then Al gets on the phone, calls the CO down there and says, hey, let those guys do what they want to do.
Yeah.
Leave them alone. Just let them get through. Let's validate this and everybody will be happy. And then when they graduate TBS, dude, here comes the biggest insult of all. Now you're going to go to IOC and you're going to do exactly what the infantry lieutenant does. Screw you. Their captain, you know. Do you remember I was your company gunny when you were a second lieutenant? I was me that stood at the captain's desk and saved your career after you ND'd your pistol into the clearing barrel at the armor. And now you're going to teach me? You know, those things happen. You're like, this is uncomfortable.
That IOC was better. They were better at IOC. First of all, they were back in their element. And but for the grace of God, I mean, the guys that were teaching at IOC, one's the chief of staff of the White House, one's the CG of OneMAF, and another one's the CG of Mar Force Pacific. So they were
above. But you had to have good guys. You had
those guys. Yeah. And they
have monkeys.
Yeah, and like they enjoyed PBS. It. Yeah, they enjoyed it and they contributed. But no, but it's harder because you're teaching to a broader group and a lower baseline, and these guys were all well beyond that. I want to share with you some stuff out of Colonel Ripley's eulogy, and I want you to react to it. This is his son. Do you know his son, Tom?
No, I said I met him once.
Okay, I'm not sure. I didn't know if you knew. Don't get sensitive.
No, right? They were like, hey, I think I said Gunny or Staff Sergeant. I was at the time, and they said, hey, this is. I mean, he. If you look at a picture of him when he got the Navy Cross, you know, and you look at his picture, he's like a model Marine, what Marine officers should look like.
Right.
I mean, he's a good-looking guy, square jaw, got, you know, straight in your face, got the the recon bubble. He's got the scuba bubble and the jump wings. I mean, he's a stud.
Right. Physical stud. Yeah, he's only, I think he's one of the few Marines in history that have, like, he's done American Special Forces or, you know, Marine Reconnaissance. He did Army Ranger stuff, and he also did it with the Brits. And he's
in, a British Royal Marine Commando. He did everything.
He's all kinds of, like, he's all kinds of cool. Listen to this stuff. So his son says that, there are many incredible memories and lessons that I have from our father. I want to leave you with a few of our favorites. One, trouser pockets are not for your hands. That's old Corps. That's old Marine Corps, right? Two, officers with facial hair love to stand weekend duty. Always take the hard road. You'll be tired, but you will be alive. And yesterday, Ed was talking about, you know, guys who were with him said, we took it to the Vietnamese because we moved all the time. We moved during the day. We moved at night. We did not stop for long periods of time when we were out there. And as a result, we took it to them. And it's interesting that this quote is in there. There are two seats on the John Ripley train. On it or under it. I love that. When you use the kneeler today in church, do not rest your bottom on the pew. Kneel or sit, not both. The term skipper is only to be used for commanding officers of rifle companies in combat and ships at sea. That's it. And then here's another list. Later in the eulogy, he says, he was given to this when he, his father gave him this when he was commissioned. A Marine leader must have, one, the spirit of the attack, march to the sound of the guns. Two, boldness. You're part of the finest fighting force in the world. Act like it. And that's something that we don't teach. We teach you that the enemy can be everywhere and blah, blah, blah. We don't encourage you to be bolder. And I don't mean be crazier, but, you know, we don't teach that very well. Three, a receptiveness for risk-taking. Risk comes with the job. If you're not comfortable operating with risk, then you need to get into a new line of work. Four, endurance, mental and physical. Mental is far more important than physical. Decisiveness, make a decision, Lieutenant, exclamation mark. A sense of mission, a sense of duty, mission first, Marine always. John Ripley to his son. Old core, hardcore.
He's buried at the academy, right?
Yeah, he's buried at the Naval Academy. And then his son goes on to say that the Marine Corps saved his father's life later in life twice. One was when he needed a kidney transplant. And,
liver transplant.
Liver transplant. And the commandant said...
Yeah, liver transplant.
Yeah, the commandant sent an aircraft to get... He was dying, and time was critical, and so the commandant authorized one of his jets to go get it and bring it to wherever he was in whatever hospital. He was recovering from that, and evidently he was struggling a bit. And so the commandant, he tells a story that they're in the hospital room, and there was a commotion outside the room as an Army orderly tried to stop four Marines from entering the room. Moments later, the color sergeant of the Marine Corps entered with the battle colors of the Marine Corps. The message was simple. Sir, the commandant, General Jones, says these colors are not to leave this room until you do. Those colors saved his life. I mean, how awesome is that stuff? Not too many organizations do shit like that. Very cool. Very cool.
And you do anything for your heroes, man. He's one of them.
Yeah. Ripley was a no shit.
Goes right down.
Yeah.
And in my eyes, and not to get this show sidetracked, he's a better Marine than Jesse Fuller.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. Whoa. But if you read the real stories about Jesse, you know, it's like, man, that's a touchy subject to some people.
Let me tell you, there's a segment of the Marine Corps that didn't think he was very good, that if you look at the highest casualty rates in the Pacific, they're owned by one guy.
They all were Puller's boys.
They were all, and when you talk about the Incheon campaign, right, the 1st Marine Regiment that he was the CO of was in the back guarding the MSR. And there were other guys out forward with 5th Marines and 7th Marines that were up around Udom Ni and the Chosin Reservoir when the Chinese came south. And obviously, the 1st Marine Regiment, what they did on the MSR and the fighting they did is the stuff of legends. But he had a mixed reputation among his peers, in spite of all his decorations. And so, but we don't really like to talk about that. And then, I mean, he's immortalized in what's that book, Marine, by Burke Davis.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I don't want to say it's fiction, but it's the glorification and not the man through a real lens of history and both the good and the bad. And that was on, you know, that was one of the books that was prominent in any Marine Corps PX that you ever went into. Marine! Okay. Here's one. It's called Muscle.
Yeah,
hold on.
You gotta read that book, American Knight, if you ever read it. American Knight by John Ripley.
Yeah, the interview yesterday wound up going 3 hours. And Ed is, I mean, he grew up near the Ripleys. He knows the Ripleys. And so, and he's gone through all the source documents and whatnot. And he tells a story of him jawbone crimping blasting caps underneath this bridge to make sure that the time fuse doesn't slip out of the blasting cap because they don't have crimpers.
Right.
So, and the story's absolutely incredible. Muscleman University. Mac, when you and the gunner get on your rants, I learn so much. It is presented in a way that you could never forget. Your statements and comments invoke the best out of the gunner. Look, okay, first of all, the gunner's junior to me, so he's a boot when we speak. And he knows it, okay?
Only in age.
I joined the Marine Corps in 1983. He didn't join.
Doesn't mean anything. I did longer. I did serve longer.
He didn't join till after me. So that means,
but I did it longer, baby.
That means he's a boot, okay? So, and all boots need supervision, and that's what I provide.
So I like your how you judge this. It's in this quantum of, you know, this is the physical attributes I'm going to apply to this. I came in first. Okay, well, I came in right after you, but I went longer.
Doesn't matter.
How many times I was promoted? 10 times.
So you had further to go.
What?
You had further to go. And come on, enlist and promote. You had farther to go, man. You didn't start where I started at that lofty place.
Yeah.
You started back there.
You started base camp. I started at the base of the mountain. You were already up at 9,000 feet. So,
you know what? That's true. You had farther to go. You joined out of high school.
And you didn't get to the peak because you didn't do you didn't make it. You didn't serve that long. You got within sight of it.
Oh, so you got to the top. You got to the peak.
Yeah, but I couldn't get promoted anymore. Those sixes.
But what does that have to do with you being a boot?
I'm not a boot. Well, everybody's a boot.
Thank you.
You're a boot. To Ripley.
You're right. Ripley looks at me and says, "Mac, you're a boot." And you know what I say? Yes, sir. It's a fact.
But he wouldn't call me a boot because I was a gunner.
He'd straight up call you a boot. Listen,
no,
boot.
He wouldn't.
Who is that boot? Your statements and comments invoke the best out of the gunner. Keep it up. If Mike ever offered a class, The World According to Gunner 101, I would be the first in line. This guy's got an empty life, Mike. I don't like. What is this, like, one of your fans, or did you write this?
Maybe he has a life that hasn't been fulfilled yet, and that's what I'm there for.
Reading.
I'm that light, the beacon. I'm not a train. You won't get hit by that light in the tunnel. I am the light. Come towards
Holy
me.
Holy shit.
Come towards me.
If
I could make the world in my eyes, it would be a beautiful world. Be a great place to live. And everybody would come. And Mac, you know you'd be there too.
Oh, I'd be there just to watch the shit show.
There'd be no shit shows.
I'm thinking there would be. Nothing goes perfectly, okay? Muscleman University, MU.
Everything in my life goes perfectly. Even the things that I didn't plan on and that don't, I still take ownership of them.
Listen to you. All right, back away from yourself, okay? Required reading, Gunner's Dictionary and Thesaurus. Your new format sounds great. Gunner coming across clear and crisp. Thank you.
This is my deep man voice. But no, this is how I always talk.
It is. And, that
it's
is
funny. Because when I'm like Megan or anybody around me, I'm like, hey, what's going on? I try and talk, and they're like, look at me like, what are you doing? Yeah, knock it off.
All right, so what else you got going on today?
We're going to go try and see the movie today.
Oh, you know what? I have to go. I need to go do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've been, our friend, I think, we're going to do her interview on Saturday.
Oh, Alyssa?
Yep.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Talk to her. Good.
Yep. No. And so, yeah, so I'm fired up about that. And then we're going to do another, I'm going to do another, at least an hour segment on Ripley with, Ed is.
Why are you doing Ripley?
I've wanted to do something about Dong Ha. For a while.
He's been gone for 10 years, right?
Yeah, but and so what I decided to call it was Legends of the Marine Corps, and take a real look at at some of these guys that are that for us are legends, and bring people on. Hopefully, they're still around. But again, if you look at so if you're a World War II veteran, how old are you? If you were, let's just say you were 25 in 1945, so you were. And so what is that? 55 years. So that's, you're at least, 55 and 25 that you're at least 80. If you were 25 in 1945, you are 89 years old today. Okay. So is that right? So if you were 25 in 1945, you add 55 to that, and you get 80, and you add another 18, that's 98. Yeah, how about that shit? That's if you were 25. So if you were, let's just say you were 20 in 1950, that's the Korean War, right? Vintage guys. They are 1950 and 50 and 18. They're 88. If you were 20, if you were anybody older, keep going. And Vietnam guys, let's just say, pick a year, let's say 1968. So that's what, 50 years ago. So you were 20 and 58, you're 70 today, and then people going north of that. So you could say if you were a leader in Vietnam, and let's just say you weren't 20, but you were 30, you're 80. Those are Vietnam guys, are 80. So I love these conversations about leadership and the way they, and things they did. And the other thing is that I started looking for stuff about Ripley, and there's three interviews I found online. One has two segments. It's a total of 15 minutes. And then there's another segment of about 20 minutes. That's it. And so to me, it's like, and their stories are incredible stories of incredible. And again, John Ripley at Dong Ha, he knew what that bridge represented, right? There's a reason he was there at that bridge, because he knew based on what was coming south. And you know what's amazing about it is that the North Vietnamese didn't have some kind of special unit that went there to interdict either access from the southern side so they couldn't blow it, or some special unit to go in there and seize the bridge itself. Because without the bridge, it stopped the whole offensive. That's the only road going into South Vietnam was Highway 1. So, yeah, Ripley goes there with purpose. And isn't authorized to blow the bridge. And he and Jerry Turley says, look, I can't get you authorization to blow the bridge, but you got to blow it. Because the South Vietnamese were talking about, well, if we blow it, we can't counterattack. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, you hold that thought, okay, bro? I need to find an adult to talk to around here.
Hey, because, let's finish this up with some funny stuff real quick.
Oh, you got something funny to say?
Yeah, dude, these are actually... Ron sent this to me, our lawyer buddy, who's now going to be the judge come December 31st at midnight. These are actually from a court reporter. It says, how in the world does court reporters keep a straight face? Right? Because you're sitting there typing, and you're there every day, and you hear this stuff. But these are actual court things that happen to court. And so it's I'm going to say always attorney and then witness. Attorney, are you sexually active? Witness, no, I just lie there. The attorney, what is your date of birth? Witness, July 18th. Attorney, what year? Witness, every year. I like that one. Attorney, how old is your son, the one living with you? 38 or 35, I can't remember which. How long has he lived with you? 45 years. Love that. That goes in the category of that's stupid people. Now, doctor, isn't it true when a person dies in his sleep, he doesn't know about it until the next morning? The doctor, did you actually pass your bar exam? I would have loved to have been in court when someone said that to a doctor. The young attorney, the youngest son, the 20-year-old, how old is he? He's 20, very close to your IQ. Do you recall the time that you examined the body? The autopsy started at around 8:30 p.m. And Mr. Denton was dead at this time? If not, he was by the time I finished. I love him, man. And then here's another one he sent me.
Give me the funniest one on your way out the door.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Ready?
Yes.
Doctor, this is an attorney. Doctor, before you performed the autopsy, did you check for pulse? Witness, no. Did you check for blood pressure? Witness, no. Did you check for breathing? Witness, no. Attorney, so then it is possible that the patient was alive when you began your autopsy? Witness, no. How can you be so sure, doctor? Because his brain was sitting on my desk in a jar. I see, but could the patient still been alive nevertheless? Yes, it is possible that he could be alive and practicing law.
You're right. How does the judge not like bust out laughing?
That one's good. That one's good, man.
Let
me ask you something.
What?
A billion seconds ago, what year was it?
I don't know, because I'd have to divide it by 60 and then 24 and then 365, and it'd be
260.
I'd have to do some.
1959.
A billion seconds ago.
1959.
Wow, it's incredible how you know things like that.
A billion minutes ago.
1959. Now a billion minutes. Oh, oh my God.
A billion minutes ago, Jesus was alive. A billion hours ago, our ancestors were living in the Stone Age. A billion days ago, no one walked on Earth on 2 feet. A billion dollars ago was only 8 hours and 20 minutes.
So what's the point of all this?
The point is, it keeps on going, but it talks about the Louisiana senator. Remember her? Mary Landrieu from she's a Democrat.
Yeah,
after the New Orleans thing for rebuilding. She asked for $250 billion to rebuild New Orleans.
Yes.
So when they put it in this perspective, they say, if you were one of the 484,647 residents in New Orleans, every man and child would get each $516,000. If the residence, a residency, if you owned a home, you got $1 million, $1.3 million. If you're a family of four, your family gets $2 million. And then it goes back to Washington, D.C. Hello, are you comfortable? And then it talks about, I looked through this, and some of these I actually pulled up and to see if, like, this is true. And then they are. Most of them. So, all these taxes, building permit tax, CDL license tax, cigarette tax, corporate income tax, dog license tax, gasoline tax, blah, 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 hunting tax, inheritance tax, inventory tax, liquor tax, luxury tax, marriage tax, Medicare tax, property tax, real estate tax. Social Security tax, sales tax, school tax, state income tax. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. And then none of these taxes existed 100 years ago. And our nation was the most prosperous in the world. We have absolutely no national debt, and we're the largest middle class in the world. and mom stayed home to raise the kids. What happened? Can what? You spell politicians?
Oh, politician hating. One of my favorite things to do in the world.
I love, if there was a fair where I could just throw rotten tomatoes at politicians and stockades and dunk tanks into, like, not water, more like, let's see, hydrochloric acid, man, I'd sign me up.
Key statistics, yeah. Hurricane Katrina. There's estimates that it costs between $108 and $151 billion after all the costs were accounted for in New Orleans.
New Orleans.
So there you have it. Bracing for a storm, doing wall-to-wall coverage all over the news, and it's gonna get to land, and it's going to be a Category 1 hurricane, which means... Not so much. Currently, the winds are at 60 miles an hour in Jacksonville, North Carolina, home of the 2nd Marine Division. Can't
so,
lose
so this Category 4 is no longer, it's not, it's, this is not working out?
It's a 2. Happening? It's a 2. It's a
2
now.
Oh. Yeah.
I know, we all... When there's no other great headlines going on, we can do all catastrophe radio, but we need a catastrophe. What happens when it peters out, which they most of them tend to do, right?
Well,
out in the
that's
middle.
That's my fear with the media. We break into this national program to let you know that a meteor has been sighted and you have 15 hours to live. And then everybody's mass hysterical, and then 14 hours, 30 minutes, people are counting down. And then all of a sudden, the meteor was not on collision course with Earth, and it just passed harmlessly in our universe. We're like, what? That would be the biggest letdown ever.
Yes, you'd be pissed. Why is he so pissed? The meteor missed you.
Oh, dude.
Everybody's happy.
Yeah, I don't know what I'd do. I mean, it's not like you get a meteor to hit us.
All right. Any big plans the rest of the day?
No. Like I said, gonna go probably try and see the movie. We'll see. Maybe tomorrow. My daughter's not feeling very good. Tonight I have some meeting with it's the citizens' police thing.
Whoa.
Exactly. Dragnet.
Dragnet.
My name is Mike Musselman, and I am a citizen, a Granbury citizen. Police officer, whatever that means.
All right. Here's another email. Hey, Mike, before the gunner leaves, just tell, just so everybody knows, it does sound a lot better. His voice is very clear, and you don't have that cell phone thing going. So, well done, boys. Keep it up. That's right. It only took us a couple years.
Yeah. I didn't realize how sexy my voice sounds. Just now.
Yeah, neither did I. Is it? Is that what we're calling it?
Wow. It's just, it's very soothing.
Well, interesting. We could get a lot of opinions on that.
It's very soothing. I have such a range, don't I?
You really don't.
Here's
another email. Did anybody else receive awards at the birthday ball when the aviators got theirs? I'm sure other people did.
Apparently this person's never been around a naval aviator.
I don't recall anybody. I recall being up in a big suite room and them receiving awards. I don't recall anybody else. So
we got to limit the time we talk about naval aviators. They just bring me down to a place I'm not happy.
Sorry, it was only them. It was an I Love Me event. I want mine.
Our naval aviator was flying over Catalina, and he's taking selfies. Really? That is so irresponsible. I can't even begin to tell you, like, how disappointed I am. As a pilot, you take your eyes off the road.
Yeah, come on.
And he's trying to do the duck face, and he doesn't know how to do it.
The duck face?
Yeah, no, he's got the serious face. He's got the lips pinched together, you know, real thin. And that's definitely not. If you know Rudy, he's always got a big ass smile on him.
Yeah, he's a happy.
But now he's got like
he's normally a happy guy when he's not pissed off. Yeah, here's one.
Have like his,
That's the grand.
F-22 fighter helmet on with the tracking radar, the helmet.
Whatever. That's the Granbury Citizens Police Academy alumni meeting. Let's get it right. Whoa.
How did you know that? Are you spying on me?
Granbury, hello. Whoa. All right, say goodbye to everybody there.
Who said that?
Say goodbye to everybody.
That was George.
Time for you to go. Hey, time for you to go. Go night night. So say goodbye there.
That was George.
Say goodbye.
George. See you tonight.
Say goodbye, Skype man.
Hey. Good night. Let me say it this way. To everybody out there, have a good evening and a good day. Is that good? Remember we used to do the sign-offs? It was so funny.
Well, no, you have to like...
This is Gunner.
Have a good evening.
Signing off. Have a good day
right.
And a good evening. And I wish all of you a great day.
You have to have it down on what you're going to say. Because you said have a great evening, then he realizes it's the middle of the day. And have a great day, too. Oops. He just ended the phone call. The text message says, I just hit the wrong button. Yeah, hit the ejector button. That'll do it. Don't touch that dial. The program continues. A lot of interesting news going on in Marineland, so we'll talk about that a little bit here the next hour. You'll hear Chris Woodbridge and a pretty interesting discussion with Woodbridge. He's the editor and publisher of the Marine Corps Gazette, so you'll hear from him today. And some exciting news that you'll hear towards the end of that interview is the Marine Corps Gazette has, and I bitch at them, or the people I know there, about I wanted to put the things that they have in their archives on my show. And they're like, well, if you tell us what you're looking for, we can go look and see what we have. And my reaction was, what do you mean? Like, with the status of the university, or the not the university, the museum, like, isn't there a catalog I could search or something? And the answer was, no. What the hell? That's being rectified. And so that's awesome. So, audio from Legends of the Marine Corps. Awesome. So, don't touch that dial. This program continues next on your home for this program. The All Warrior Radio Network. Have a great day on a Thursday on Marine Radio. Over and out.